Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up right now, we got the C Block, but also from the 254, dang you, Kevin, I just spit Wendy's all over my windshield. And then one person goes, what would your mom think about what you just said? And that is a good point. She would not be pleased with me. But right now, segment that pleases everybody all the time. It's the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We aim to please here on the C Block, Kevin. That is true. I wanted to start with this. Did I just give you chills when I said that?
Yeah, and also I'm redoing my over-under about Colby Tolbert swear words in a 60-second gap because, man, that 5.5, too low. 7.5.
I just saw a headline that says every episode of Stranger Things Season 5 will be 90 to 120 minutes long, and the budget was $50 to $60 million.
Here's
with each episode.
Yeah.
Is it going to be worth it?
Thumbs down. The answer is no.
Oh, and that's what do you mean?
Because the answer is no. It took too damn long.
So you're out,
no matter what. I mean, obviously I'm going to watch it, but I don't think I'm going to look at this and be like, wow, this is really worth 4 years. And plus the way they do it, they're like, here, you can have some of the episodes at Thanksgiving, then some of them on Christmas, and then guess what, D-holes, you got to wait another week to get the last one. And I'm like, it took you 8,000 years to put out this season.
Kevin, there was a bit of audio that I wanted to play, and this is David Newton was on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show this morning, minus RJ, because he's on his trip to Knoxville today. ESPN NFL Nation reporter David Newton.
Okay.
And I believe Alec did this correctly. He got the question and answer. Sean asks about Jadeveon Clowney and his thoughts.
What do you think we should expect from Clowney this year since you had him last year?
Oh, wow. He's a guy I think still can pressure the quarterback. Last year is probably not a fair year to judge him on. Because, I mean, I grew up watching him play in high school even. Actually, I saw him in junior high. He actually ended my son's football career, broke 3 bones in his back when he hit him from behind in the ninth grade playing JV. He shouldn't have been playing JV, but that was their first year of school, and they have to have a year of JV, so he should have been on the varsity, but they didn't have a varsity that year. No, he literally was a man among boys there. And
Kevin,
holy crap!
We have interviewed many, many people in our time. We have had many awkward moments in interviews in our time. How would you, because Sean did the right thing there by being like, whoa, you know, with both of his sound effects that he made there. And I'm not making fun of Sean, although I think, yeah, exactly. Sound effects are hilarious to me, obviously. How did Sean handle that? And how would you have asked, would you have followed up with another question about that or done what they did and just move on?
No, I would have been like, holy crap, are you serious? Tell me more about that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Look, man, he told you that story because he needed you to know.
He needed to
get
it out.
And he wanted a follow-up question. If he didn't want you to tell, he could have been like, I've seen him as far back as high school, and he was a beast then. And then that's it. But when you say, I saw him in high school, he broke my son's back, and then he made sure to say also he shouldn't have been on varsity, and then he also said would he hit him in the back.
Yes.
This feels like a very Bane-esque situation where he wanted you to like engage him on this.
Yeah, I'm sorry I did not dig further into David Newton's son's story. Okay, I did not do that, so I don't know anything beyond that. It's just as far as we're concerned, how whenever weird questions or weird answers pop up, you always have the, should we ask another question about this? And I think, Kevin, more often than not, the answer is yes. You should ask follow-up questions because it could lead into such a different direction of intrigue.
I agree, but I will say this. 2.5 years ago at training camp, we had a player on that gave an answer that most definitely deserved a follow-up question.
He said he had just had a child.
Yes.
And then he said that he had another child.
Oh, I asked. I said, but you have two kids, right? And I said, how old is your other one? And he said, 2 weeks old, knocking him out back to back. I was not ready for that answer. I was so stunned by that answer that I wasn't ready with a follow-up question. I feel like we're really good at follow-up questions after that. I was so thrown off that I couldn't. I was like, wait, what?
Their PR people said, thank you for not asking a follow-up question, and then did the facepalm as they were like.
Yes. Yeah, because the PR person, I told him the story, and he goes, don't mention that on air. And I go, no, the player brought it up, and he goes, Jesus F, and walked off, and it was amazing. The fan text took off, and I was like, did he just say he had another kid 2 weeks ago? Yeah. And I was still in shock at that moment. So maybe that's what happened. You don't expect the beat reporter that you have on asking about a player to be like, oh, yeah, I broke my son's back. Like, that's unexpected.
Yeah, so there you go. Wanted to just kind of look, I get in the car, and Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show, minus RJ today.
Sometimes with Aiden?
Yeah, they're in my ears. Yeah. And so I wanted to bring some light to their show that we love so much.
Pretty shocking, though.
By the way, G-Bag Nation coming up here at 2 o'clock. We'll have them on for Crosstalk at 1:40.
Yes.
Also, don't forget, tomorrow we're at Taco Bueno.
7940 North Central Expressway.
Saturday, I'm at the Derby Shire in Frisco for FC Dallas Watch Party.
Oh.
And then Sunday, I'm in Levon for the Cowboys for the Watch Party at the Bearded Monkey. So
okay.
We are very busy. Tomorrow is 8 p.m. to 11. Or I'm sorry, Saturday is 8 p.m. to 11. And then Sunday is going to be 11 to 2. So be ready for that. Kevin, Timothy Chalamet has been secretly bringing ping pong tables around the world for 7 years to prepare for his Marty Supreme role that he's playing. Have you seen anything about this? Because people are saying this is a career-defining moment for Timothy Chalamet, who's already had multiple of those.
His career-defining moment is in Dune when he's running sideways, showing that he's an athlete in those deserts. I love
Not the Bob Dylan movie?
Yeah. Oh, well, unfortunately, I haven't seen the Bob Dylan movie.
It's pretty good.
But I love the Dune movie, so I'm sure this ping pong movie will be great. He's a really good actor, but Dune is where it's at, man. New Star Wars.
Also, Kevin, it has been confirmed. The Bills fan who caught the football in the stands, put it underneath his shirt, and then took off up the stairs and escaped was found.
All right, before you explain more to me about this, would this have worked if he was a lady? Now, you can feel, I mean, you probably shouldn't, but I can see how a security guard would be like, let me check your belly. But, like, you can't do that with a lady.
That's a good point.
Because maybe it's a kid, maybe it's not, but that is...
You don't want to know.
Exactly.
You don't want to know.
Okay, PJ Washington.
PJ does have a point.
I am curious if a woman could have gotten away with this, because she would have been like, how dare you, sir? I'm 4 months pregnant with my first baby or whatever.
Well, here is what she had to say. But as a matter of fact, the woman that was with him. They came to me and they said, we know who you guys are.
Oh.
You sit in these seats often. Can you please have him return the ball? We will get you another one.
Did Josh Allen throw that football too?
And she said, I explained, well, we were promised that in the past and we didn't get the ball. So that's kind of why he took off with it.
All right.
He said, and then said, I did wind up going back to the seat and happily returned the ball. He said, they did give me another ball in exchange. So this ball, unfortunately, is not the actual ball Allen threw that I caught. However, all is right in the world. No theft occurred. There was no stolen property.
I will also argue, I strongly disagree that it would be considered theft. Hey, that came to me.
Yeah.
All right?
Like, they gave it to me.
I didn't go on to
what
the
was I supposed
field.
To do?
Yeah, he made an errant throw, and I got it. But I do see how, if you were like a season ticket holder in the second row, people probably know who you are.
Yeah, can you imagine, though, if baseball did that all the time? Oh, they were like, hey, look, we got to get that foul ball right now.
They'd have to have like an army of people just patrolling.
This is the only ball we play with.
Okay, by the way, speaking of baseball, can I ask you a quick baseball question and put you and Alec to the test?
Sure.
How many pitches do you think were thrown in baseball games yesterday? There were four baseball games. How many pitches do you think got thrown total?
Four baseball games. 1,165 pitches.
Okay. Alec, what do you think? I like the specificity of that.
1,257.
Ooh, Alec is closer. The answer was 1,395.
Man, that's amazing.
1,395.
From the 469, I just spoke to Colby Tolbert. I heard zero cuss words. Very respect. Very respect.
No, you didn't.
That man.
Lies.
That's what they said. It's not me that texted
it. Where is
it.
That person?
Don't worry about it.
I refuse to believe
obviously,
that.
Obviously, they just left,
well,
Kevin.
That means he doesn't like you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, he's very respectful. Not all curse words are used inappropriately. You can have all kinds of positive curse words.
I have so much respect for when one of my kids, when they were younger, and they would accidentally throw it out there, but they used it correctly. Yeah. Like they would be doing something and go, damn it. And I'd be like, well, that at least they used it right.
Yeah.
You know? Or if Lucy dropped the F-bomb and I'm dropping her off to the teacher. And I'm just like, well, she's using it right. She's your problem today. See, she's still my problem, all right?
My wife has warned me that Noah's my problem because I sometimes say things and once in a while encourage him to say things that are probably not.
You do. I was in the car whenever you encourage your kid to say some things.
Appropriate. And sometimes he repeats them and Jess looks at me and she's like, you're going to go to that meeting. Ha, trick's on you. She teaches at the same school he goes to, so they're gonna go to you.
They're just gonna come down the hallway. Kevin, we have not had the opportunity to talk about it yet much today, so I did want to go ahead and bring this up. Can you imagine deciding that you're gonna go to UNC and you're gonna play under Bill Belichick to get five games into the season and the coach is like, I want out of here so bad,
man.
Because he is a chump and he can't get it together.
Like, he is a chump.
That's I don't know what the problem is there, that he can't get it put together the way he had it at New England. And I'm also kind of curious at what destination he wants to go to, whether because it did say something along the lines of a soft landing as a coach somewhere or on TV. I wonder if Miami would be a place where he's like, I'm going to go to Miami and I'm going to take over when Mike McDaniels is fired, and I'm going to take over the rest of the season and we'll rock from there.
Whoa.
But why couldn't he get this? He was just talking, literally just talking about with Pat McAfee on the field right before their game about how their recruiting class had not done what it needed to do in its first year. And so that's where he's like, I have to do that first. But now he's going to bail on it that quick, and that just, for me, this tarnishes his legacy for me if he just runs away from this thing.
That is, I mean, especially since it seems like he's gotten so many concessions from them. Like, you know, my granddaughter, girlfriend, can be on the sidelines at all times when she doesn't seem to have an official role in the program. Nobody can tweet about the Patriots. I'm at a cancer.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show that I already agreed to. It feels like there's been so many concessions made for him, and he's just being a baby about
it. Yeah, and that's just, I would hate to, and this is one of the things I do not like about college football is, and you've always said this, commit to the program, not the coach.
Agreed.
But I've always hated how a coach is the one selling you the program.
Yeah.
And then that coach is, as soon as he decides, you know what, I'm about to get caught, or I'm not getting what I want, he says, see you later. I understand that's the part of the business, but again, for Bill Belichick, for me, this is going to kill some of the legacy of I thought that dude could fix, and he just doesn't seem to have the cojones to go ahead and continue fixing.
So do you leave the path open for he changes his mind, he sticks through it, and he works his way up?
If he did that, if he was able to do that, yeah. I'd be impressed beyond means.
Okay,
dude. But the fact that now you've seen, you know, you saw him leave the Jets high and dry,
yeah,
so that he could go take on something else, and that just now you're starting to look like a dude that really he just can't handle it when it's tough.
Oh, this is a good question from the 806. Do you think he wants to step down so he can go to his girlfriend's high school graduation?
Gosh. I never brought her up. Never brought her up at all.
Well, he's a weirdo.
Go Mean Green.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who do you fear on the Panthers? Where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Plus, power ranking the quarterbacks. All of it next, live from Tolbert Garage in Mesquite on 105.3 The Fan.
On second down, Young under center. He has time. Running out, flushed out. Young towards the corner. He's there. Touchdown, Carolina.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we might be in a position where we can all redo stuff at our house based on the folks that have been showing up.
This is a great networking day,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, man, whether it's J&N Fence Company or we got T-Rock Roofing.
Yeah,
man, and as somebody who's in the middle of two gigantic expensive projects at my house, I appreciate these people coming by.
Kevin, Tolo just asked a question. I don't know if you want to use this as an entire segment tomorrow.
Yeah.
As we lead into Texas OU weekend, or if you want to discuss this a little bit right now. But I think this is a fascinating question. We had Carter on earlier, and we were discussing that game. And I was thinking about this, actually, on my drive in this morning. Let's say Arch Manning doesn't have a good start to the game. Do you think Sarkisian would at all risk benching him and risk the backlash that might come from it?
I honestly, at this point, like backlash from the family, maybe. I don't think you get it really from the fan base. Although I have heard a lot of people kind of compare this to the Chris Sims situation.
I get that, yeah. No,
where
absolutely.
There was a lot of family pressure that if you even consider benching him for what at the time felt like a superior quarterback, that he's out of here.
Now, they don't have that option, right? Or do they have that option in-house?
I mean, right now, with the way Arch is playing, maybe they do.
Okay.
I would say the game would have to be probably within 10 to 13 points for them to consider that. Because if he's playing bad but you're getting worked, what's the point?
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how much influence that family has.
Yeah.
And you know, what Sarkisian's faith in that his system works with this quarterback.
Sure. That is the primary question. But that's a fascinating scenario. I would be interested what happened if that played out. Right now, who do you fear on the Panthers, and where do the Cowboys hold an edge?
Oh man, the Panthers. I will say I do fear Tet. Tet McMillan. He hasn't scored yet, which is a huge dent in my fantasy football group right now. But he's getting the targets and he's getting the yards and he's getting the catches that give him about 10, 13, 14 points a game in fantasy. So the production is there. But Kevin, the secondary we've seen get torched too many times. He is not a burner like that. Tet is going to be a move the chains kind of guy. He'll get you some pretty good plays. He's got a great size, great target, but he's not a burner. But the fact that if Bryce Young starts feeling comfortable that he can go to him at any point, that would really concern me, because what that would then do is open up the field for Rico Dowdle. And Rico Dowdle wants to punish this team. Not that he's like, I hate them. He's just like, I want to show them that they should have made me a star back.
Sure.
I was there for a reason for a long time. So that's the concern, is if Tet gets going, does this defense say, we got to go sacrifice that for this?
Now, we can focus in on some of their late-round rookies in just a second, but I am concerned that a switch made by the Panthers might really click for them in the linebacking core. So Christian Roseboom led the Panthers in tackles last week with 9, and Tevin Wallace had 4. So one of the things that they did going into the game is that Roseboom had been calling the plays. But against the Dolphins, they switched it to Wallace calling the plays. And Dave Canales, their head coach, said, man, we felt like that switch really freed Christian up. And so I'm concerned that sometimes a simple switch like that can continue Wallace playing well, but then Roseboom maybe kind of hits his stride. Mm-hmm. Or if he really did just feel freed up, that gives him the opportunity to wreak a little bit more havoc, maybe especially in the middle of the field. And you mentioned Tet, but you look at that last game, it was the later round picks that made the difference in that final drive. So Mitchell Evans, fifth round pick, tight end, he made the game-winning catch. Jimmy Horn.
Dude, Mason Taylor just had a good game against the Cowboys, too, at the tight end position for the Jets.
And so you have to keep an eye out on that. Jimmy Horn, he made the fourth down catch to keep them in business, and even Trevor Etienne was able to sub in.
He can run the ball.
Yeah,
can run the ball.
And so I realize a lot of the focus was in on Dowdle, but their late round picks they really made an impact in that game as well. And so I certainly understand some of the names we brought up, but I wanted to focus in on those guys and the linebackers as well.
So you're saying that receiving crew might be too legit to quit? This was an awkward moment for me where I made one of your stupid jokes, mm-hmm. and now I have to pay the quiet price in front of people.
Yeah.
Which is a little more awkward than whenever we're just in the studio.
I just want to remind everyone here at Tolbert Garage, if you want to head back to where there's pizza and pool, you can try.
There we go. Kevin, I will also add your guys, Derek Brown and Ashawn Robinson, are loads to deal with. Like, those are some big boys that are not fun. To go battle. So this offensive line has a fun test. Now, they did a good job with Quinnen Williams and crew last week, and that's a positive thing. Can they replicate that and do the same thing on this side of it? That Carolina defense, they've had to carry a lot for the lack of offense,
sure.
And they've done their job for the most part. So that group up front, this is going to be that fun test to see, can the Cowboys, with some injuries, do it again?
So let's look at some of the positive potential matchup for the Cowboys. The Panthers are 26th in passing yards per game, and they're 24th in points scored. So even with last week's offensive output, they are still close, if not in the bottom third, for those offensive categories. Then, for the Cowboys, George Pickens can already set a single-season career high in receiving touchdowns if he gets into the end zone against Carolina. Guess what? So can Javonte Williams, but on the rushing end of it. So you already have two players in week six that are on the cusp of career highs. Then there's Dak Prescott.
But there can only be one, right?
Is no, that what you're saying? This is different than a normal Highlander situation.
Well,
there can be two.
I have Javonte Williams in fantasy, and somebody else has Pickens, so...
Okay.
There can only
How about
be
this?
One.
No, disagree. How about this? Pickens scores his touchdown, and then Javonte scores three. How will that not work for you?
I'm not playing against the guy that has Pickens, so I'm okay with that.
Oh, my God.
I'll accept that. As long as there's only one that has three, and it's my guy.
Okay.
And now, I hope the best for Pickens, though.
Now, you know what? I hope the worst for you. So, for the Cowboys, Dak leads the NFL in in completions. He's leading in completions. He's second in yards, and he's tied for third in touchdown passes. But this is probably the number you should care the most about. A big play pass in the NFL, 25-plus yards.
Okay, so hold on. This is interesting because
an explosive
there's
play,
explosive
yeah.
splash, big. Like, this is because there's
and
10 yards, 15 yards, now 25. I like this
and
number.
I know for some people they will define splash and explosive similarly and go 16 to 18 yards on the passing play. But for big play, 25-plus yards. Now, I know you would assume that all of the quarterbacks the Cowboys have played lead the league in this category.
Every single one of them.
But it is actually Dak Prescott who leads the NFL. He has 14 pass plays of 25-plus yards this year.
Thanks
Think about
to Pickens.
It. Yes, and that averages out to almost three per game.
So
three per game.
That is
yes,
improvement,
it is
Jerry.
Improvement.
Yeah, no, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, of 25-plus yards. And that's a remarkable reason that you've started off this hot offensively.
Yeah, and I say because thanks to Pickens, it's not just him.
For sure.
But he's a key factor
Tolbert
in this.
Tolbert made an insane
catch. And in Flannoy. Yeah, no, that insane catch from Tolbert still is stuck in my mind. Pickens is a great example of it, though, because Dak trusts it. And Schottenheimer I've said this consistently. I think I'm just going to keep saying it over and over. He's giving Dak the permission to trust the aggressive nature of their play calling. hey,
I like that.
I called the play for a purpose.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to give you the authority, if you will, to go out there and change it if you need to. But I called the play with a purpose. You know, because we worked so hard together this week on the plan, what we can do if that isn't set up right. You know what you're supposed to
right.
do. But also, trust the play is going to work because we called it for a reason. Kevin, I do want to add Tommy Yarish, Nick Harris reporting. Joe Milton, Miles Sanders, Fowler, Sanborn, and Turpin were not seen on the practice field during the media portion today. Donovan Wilson was back out at practice after missing Wednesday.
Okay.
So.
See, and like, I
know you pay a lot of attention to the injury reports.
And I don't mean this to sound callous, but like Joe Milton, Miles Sanders, you're like, okay, that I want them to be.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to go.
Yes, yes.
But I feel like you could weather that more than maybe Donovan Wilson, although I know some people have issues with Donovan Wilson as well. All right, let's power rank the starting quarterbacks. Now, you know how we like to start this out. Who is the worst starting quarterback in all of the NFL?
Jake Browning. Well, I guess Joe Flacco is in his
he
place
He got
now.
Benched.
By
the way, Joe Flacco is 30, which that... feels right.
Is Bryce Young still the one?
Bryce Young is 29.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You got two of the worst four, but not the worst two.
Spencer Rattler,
he was victorious, so he is rocketed up to 31.
Okay.
So he is only the second worst quarterback.
Now, who's starting this week that hasn't played yet?
Alec, I'm going to give you a chance to steal, and I'm going to cheat. Lamar Jackson looks very unlikely for this weekend.
Oh.
Now, with that in mind, Alec, would you like an opportunity to steal? As Corey has gotten three of the worst four, but let's see if he can get the worst. If you can get the worst quarterback,
I see what you're doing. You want me to dunk on my fellow ginger brethren? It's Cooper Rush.
It is Cooper Rush, isn't it?
It is Cooper Rush.
Dude, he was bad, man. Three picks.
Yes.
Jake Browning's the only other one that threw three picks.
Yeah, I'd have put Jake Browning below Cooper Rush, probably, right?
Probably.
All right. Where would you put... Actually, you know, let's go to the top of the list. Who's your top quarterback in the NFL?
Top quarterback in the NFL... It's not Mahomes. Dude, I'll throw Baker in the mix now.
Oh, Baker, the touchdown maker.
Is he even top 10?
He's six.
Okay,
six. I will admit at this moment... I think feels a little low.
Yeah, he's playing really high level. Is it just still Josh Allen?
Josh Allen is number one on the list.
Where's Goff right now?
Jared Goff is second.
Okay.
On the list.
He has the benefit of having a fantastic run game. Guess what? So does Josh Allen. James Cook is playing phenomenally right now. So but that run game sets it up. I mean, just like we're talking about with Dak, he has a great running game, which allows him to be aggressive downfield too.
Okay, well, let's set those parameters for right now then. If you know one is Allen, two is Goff, six is Mayfield, how do you feel about 3, 4, and 5, and where does Dak fit into this conversation? And for people who do this every single week, don't bring me the baggage of what happened this time and that time and the other time. Right now.
Yeah, I think Dak's still a top 10. I think Dak's still top 10.
Okay, but not 3, 4, 5.
I think he's top 5.
Okay,
I do. I would put him in the top 5 right now at this moment. The way that he's playing, I would put him in that place. Is Stafford?
Matthew Stafford is number 4.
Okay.
On the list. Could Dak be 3 or 5, Alec? What say you?
I'd like to think he's at 5. I do. I think he should be top 5 in today's NFL. I know the record. We talked about this last week whenever we did the same exercise.
Yep.
That the record is going to you know, draw some people away from the idea. But again, wins do not always equate to the quarterback play. So I think he's five.
So Jordan Love is third, and he magically went up three spots this week, which is weird. Patrick Mahomes is number five. And then this, I think, is what's really going to infuriate you.
Jordan Love's completion percentage, oh, I guess it's 69. He's got 1,000 yards.
Yeah, because he got to play against the Cowboys defense. This is what's going to make you mad, though. Dak is 8. 7, Jalen Hurts. Do you think Jalen...
Who's not throwing the ball? I guess the position is more than just throwing the ball now.
But do you think Jalen Hurts at this moment... I know, Super Bowl, I'm not saying that that doesn't matter for his legacy, but right now, do you think Jalen Hurts is playing better quarterback than Dak Prescott?
He hasn't thrown an interception yet.
Is that right? How many touchdown passes?
7.
Really? Okay.
I'm actually surprised about that.
In my face.
But then maybe that he's we talked, is he a little too risk averse?
Yeah.
Well, not throwing interceptions is a good thing for you right now, but he only has 800 yards.
Really?
889. And he's got a completion percentage of 67, just
his
below
67. His QBR is 13th.
Yeah. So I don't think he should
Dak's
be.
Third.
But because he's not, but he is running the ball very effectively. And that is part of the position. Whether people want to be like, oh, he's a good running back, that's fine. But he is listed as a quarterback. Part of the position now is to do both of those things.
So the top 10 goes like this. Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Stafford, and Mahomes at 5. And then Mayfield, Hurts, Dak, Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold at 10. For the person that was asking, Daniel Jones, this feels unfair, is number 14. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. Coming up next, let's chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Driving the net, Ranson, and he's got it!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We've had a great day at Tolbert Garage Door, and even when we leave, man, Colby Tolbert is invested in the fan. He's one of the reasons he's sponsoring Flag Tolbert is what we're going with, and love these G-Bag flags. They always got great deals for you on garage doors as well. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, we just talked about them. It's time to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing. How are you, Higgs?
Dude, we're doing great, and I know for a lot of people this is a huge day because Dallas Stars hockey is finally here. What's the vibe that y'all are feeling for this Stars team going into not only the season opener but the season itself?
Well, you know, I think it's still a very good team, and I'm excited about a full season with Rantanen, and I'm excited about maybe young players. This team's done a really nice job developing.
Yes.
But I do think it's a half tick off from what it was last year, where it already felt like, you know, they weren't real strong championship caliber. So I don't want to bring anybody down, Heggy, but you asked a question. I'm here to speak my truth.
I appreciate you speaking your truth.
Hater.
What about the rest of you fellas?
Yeah. So he's basically saying they can't go 82-0-2. Is that what
he's saying? Yeah, so call him a hater.
Great. Yeah. Great.
Well, you can't go 82-0 unless you win tonight, Corey.
So, that's where it starts.
Most important game.
This is where it starts.
Absolutely. 1-0. You got to win tonight. It's a must win against Winnipeg.
No, it's not.
Must win. Mm-hmm. Backs are against the wall.
It's basically like a playoff game.
Desperate team theory.
Yeah. Cope. Desperate team theory right off the jump.
Damn right.
Yeah.
I think you're probably
got
second.
Got rid of our coach, got rid of like half the players.
Yeah.
We're in desperate team theory right now.
Yep. Thank you, Broadus. Yeah. That's a scout right there.
Man, if they win like 5-0, I'm going to have to eat so much S on this. And y'all like, I told you, desperate team theory.
That's what it's going to be. Tyler Seguin's going to have a Hattie tonight. And
the Stars
are going to absolutely. I mean, it might be tough because hella suck. Is actually good in the regular season, unlike the postseason.
Ooh.
So he could
or
end
playing
up
for his country.
Playing pretty well.
That bully Melrose I hear over there.
Bully Melrose. That hella suck guy, you know. Screw him, boys. Screw him. I do think second probably in the Central this year. I am picking Colorado to represent the West, and I think the Stars
are that's because they beat the Kings the other night. I see what you're doing.
Colorado.
Hey, what have you done for me lately?
That's what
Colorado's
I
Colorado's pretty loaded. They're pretty darn loaded, boys. But if you can dodge the Avs, you know, I think we got ourselves a good chance to go out there and maybe finally punch through and beat the crap out of the Canes in the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Do you think if the Stars can win the Stanley Cup, they'll keep their coach? Because I know they really have high standards.
No, you fire the coach after you win the cup there. Okay. That's what you do. That's how hockey works. Come on, boys. You know that.
Have you ever thought about taking this on the road to Canada? Because I would really like to see that.
I'd probably get my ass kicked, boys, and you know that.
There's no chance somebody in Canada would kick ass.
Yeah, they don't fight.
They're too nice.
They're super nice people.
I get some poutine thrown at me, huh?
I mean, probably.
You're lucky.
Sorry, my mistake.
Stuff
on that.
Fantastic.
You got me excited earlier, you know.
Man, I've said some regrettable things on this show today. Eric, how
not
we
just today, buddy.
How we feeling about the Stars this season?
I'm excited. It is obviously filled with a little bit more questions when you bring the new coach in. How's everything going to vibe here? But I am pretty optimistic with the way that the roster is built. I mean, Thomas Harley and what he did last year and his ascension, I think, is something that we can get real excited about. I can't wait to just see kind of how Wyatt Johnston recovers from the disgust of his postseason run. Like, now you got a little adversity going here. I want to see that. And obviously the questions will pop back up no matter how dominant he is come regular season. But once you get to the postseason, those questions will remain. But just out of the gates here, I'm looking forward to seeing, hopefully, that is all behind him.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you thought we might see the rebirth of Wyatt Johnston, because you're right, man. That was a brutal, brutal playoff run.
They better see it, or else this is going to be really bad this year. They need him in a big way.
And that contract's really going to hurt. Now, we talked a good bit about Texas OU today. It took a while, but the point spread finally swung back over into OU's favor. What's y'all's breakdown of this game coming up at the Cotton Bowl?
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'll tell you that. I do think that. I mean, I'm looking at hitting the under here. I don't imagine that offenses get going in a huge way. And OU's defense is so good, that front four, the way they get pressure. So I'm interested to see kind of what the plan is offensively for Texas and how they approach that, because Arch likes to hold on to the ball forever. And that's going to get him in trouble in this game.
Yeah, I kind of hope that OU's defense gets stuck in that tiny passageway in front of the Cotton Bowl when you can't get into the stadium.
You hate that passageway.
I hate that. I've been there. Have they widened that
thing?
They
widened it.
Well, then Texas is in trouble. Because, if we've widened that gap there, then, Texas is in trouble, because I don't think you get rid of, like, all of a sudden your pass-blocking woes all of a sudden just get better in 4 or 5 days' time. So, yeah, young Bennett Broadus, who's firing the cannon every time that Texas scores, might not get to do it once this game. I hope I'm wrong about that.
Defensive matchup. Both good defenses. I think OU's better, and if Mateer plays and plays well, they'll win handily. If he doesn't play, it's kind of a coin flip situation.
Now, this is a weird combination of stories, but Maddie Segrist from the Wings got the chance to meet the Pope, and then also a Pope autographed baseball sold for $5,000 and some change. Now that you know that, if you ever got to meet the Pope, would you ask him to sign a baseball?
He's a baseball fan, right?
Yes, he is.
Baseball fan, likes football, Chicago guy. Yeah, sure, why not?
It worth a shot.
Sucks, though.
Yeah. I think the Pope would sign a ball for you, right?
Yeah,
he's pretty cool about that, right? He seems
loves signing balls.
Very understanding.
Very understanding Pope. He preaches that every Sunday, right?
Hey, Pope, can you put your John Hancock on my ball?
Don't think I didn't hear that comment, Wolchuk. Mm-hmm. But also, if you were wearing a White Sox hat, that would probably help grease the wheels, right?
I would go in with a Cubs hat and just see if he gets testy.
Yeah.
Ooh, the rivalry.
I like that he used that word,
balls.
Too.
What are you doing over there, Satan? Tempting the Pope?
What do you fine fellas got coming up on the program today?
Behind me, Satan!
Tempting the Pope.
I'm disappointed you guys that hockey talk today and didn't talk about how terrible Utah's nickname is, the Mammoth.
You don't like that? I like the Mammoth. No.
Of course you would like that, Heggy.
So does Corey! I bet the people on your show like it, too.
I don't know about that.
I mean, they're extinct, aren't they? It's like they're trying to bring them back.
Should have been the Popes.
I think nobody's ever been able to touch a star, you know? So
we got moon. We got stardust all around us. But we got Jake Ferguson coming up at 5:20.
The moon's on a moon.
Star's not a shape.
Hey, first question, if you can ask Jake Ferguson, what does he think
you
about
had
the
a chance
Utah
on your
mammoths?
Show. Don't worry
about okay,
it.
Okay, all right. Yeah. We'll ask
Push
Jerry.
On, Heggy.
We'll ask
Take
Jerry
the meal
tomorrow.
And move on.
What do you think about the Utah Mammoths? All right, thank you very much, fellas. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Remember, tomorrow, Taco Bueno in Dallas, 7940 North Central Expressway. Come and see us or tune in 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on The Fan.
Say pivotal, Kevin.
Pivotal for Tolbert.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.